bring on the aforementioned Mike Johnson. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. MJ actually in Ottawa. He's going to do the Sens game tonight versus Tampa. How you doing this morning, Mike?
I am doing very well, yes. I think Leon responding to like people like me saying, well, hang on, isn't Connor the best passer? He gets the most assists. Mm-hmm. With him. Just, I think that the first one was something else. Wheeling, dealing. There was a checker right there, and he just put it right on the tape. And the other part about it, which I haven't heard anyone notice, like, you talk about being aware of what's going on the ice, right? So McDavid goes in, breakaway, 460, he misses. He bangs a stick on the boards once, then twice, because he's frustrated he hasn't scored. And then he starts going back in the play. He sees the puck coming again. And when you watch the replay, he drops his hand, his bottom hand, I guess his left hand, down by like the CCM logo on his stick, like a third of the way up, because he's checking to see if the shaft is broken. He's in the middle of a breakaway in overtime, about to go for 60. He's checking before he gets the puck, because if it's broken, he won't shoot. Right? Right. Like, it's you know, he'll elect to try to do some sort of move and not risk shooting with a compromised stick. I'm like, how's that for awareness? Like, that you might have broken your stick. You better check it, because if it is kind of compromised, I'll do a different move than I otherwise might have the option of doing. I'm like, this guy is operating at another level. It's something to watch, and good for him. You know, he could have scored 5 last night. He had so many chances to get 60, and it's nice that he's gotten that behind him, and now I guess does he push for 70? I don't know where you go from here.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you, because I think the 41st time a player's hit 60 goals in a season. There's only been 14 of 70 or more, and obviously not one in a very long time. And mm-hmm. I know he talks of that personal accolades don't mean anything to him, and I believe him when he says it, but it feels like this year he's just decided, I'm going to score goals this year, as well as just you know, getting tons of points. And I think, and you know him better than I would, that if he sets his mind to scoring 70, he's got 10 games left, and he needs to, or 10 with 10 goals to go, that he's going to score 70. I think he is.
I mean, I feel like if he set his mind to it, and I don't think he will. Like, I know we've had this debate, and he will not give us anything about whether or not he's changed his focus or has had more of a shoot mentality, or made it an objective to try to score more goals, let alone 60 or 70. But when you get this close to a milestone, at least last night he admitted, in a rare moment of candor, that he was pressing for 60. Like, thank you. Of course you were. Like, you're human. Everyone else would do that, and you did as well. It was nice of him to acknowledge that. And then, would he press for 70? He's had, just a couple few weeks ago, he went 5 games in a row scoring 2 goals a game. So he's gone on good runs as well. They do have, if I'm not mistaken, they have Arizona again. They have San Jose. They might have Anaheim once. Like, they have some teams that are going to be potentially defensively liable out there. So I would say if he gets like 65, then it probably becomes a little bit more reasonable that he pushes the last little bit. But whether it ends up with 63, 67, 60, whatever, it's still one of the seasons for the ages. All-time great season.
My guess is he wants to get more than Matthews got last year. That's just my thought. Now, MJ, back to the trade deadline. So much focus on the East and all the big moves, but it sure looks like Edmonton and L.A. have been the two teams that have benefited most from the moves they made at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matthias Ekholm has been so exactly what Edmonton needed, and that he stabilized the second pair. The fact that he's like a point-a-game player is shocking, but that's a bonus. But he's also made Evan Bouchard way better, although Bouchard had a couple of tough moments last night. But, he's made Bouchard's game more well-rounded, partnering up with him, taking the burden off Darnell Nurse. Their record with him in the lineup is very good. So, yeah, like that. And even Nick Bjugstad, he comes in there, and he's been pretty good for Edmonton as well. So Ken Holland sort of slow-played how hard it was going to be to make a deal. He makes a very good one that is paying dividends. And the Kings one, Simmer, you would have to appreciate – probably harder to make, given that they had to trade Jonathan Quick to make it happen.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't just, we need a player that's going to cost us assets. It's going to cost you a franchise icon that you're going to have to move to make it happen. But they had to do it. And I almost gave Rob Blake credit for making a very tough decision, but one he knew he had to make. And Korpisalo is going to step in there and give them exactly the kind of goaltending they did not get, quite frankly, from Jonathan Quick this year, or any goaltender that was playing for them. L.A. with good goaltending is another animal altogether because their 5-on-5 game is so strong. Mm-hmm. They are where they are in the standings with some of the worst goaltending in the league prior to Corposalo's arrival. Now that he's there and his 925 save percentage, if he gets that to L.A., they're going to be a challenge in the playoffs. All of a sudden, everyone's focusing so much on the East, Toronto, Tampa, Jersey, Rangers. The 2-3 battles in the West are no cupcake either. You're going to get Edmonton, L.A., right now, that's a really good team going home. And as of today, I don't know, I think they're all tied with 90, Colorado and Minnesota and Dallas. That's a really good team going home as well. So winning the division all of a sudden in all four divisions becomes very important.
Yeah, and kind of, I don't want to say renders moot this whole argument of, oh, woe is me, we're going to get stuck with this really hard first-round matchup.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's first-round matchup, other than a couple of teams, is going to be really hard.
And if you want the best one, win the division, win the league. Like, you know, this is the price you pay. It's a tough league. You're going to have a good opponent. Stop it with that.
As you look at the top three in the Pacific, which have kind of separated themselves a little bit from Seattle now. Seattle will still make it, but it looks like they'll be a wild card. So Vegas, L.A., and Edmonton, and you look at those three teams, do you look at, in terms of a matchup, where one has a distinct advantage over over a matchup with any of the other two, where you kind of go, that would be a good matchup, or on the flip side, that is not a good matchup for one of these three teams, if I'm making any sense with that question.
Yeah, so I'm not sure anything really stands out. My initial thoughts are this. It feels like L.A.'s game is, like, their good game and their bad game are much more similar. Edmonton's bad game's no good. Their good game's very good. And Vegas the same. Their bad game's not so good. Their good game's really quite solid. Whereas L.A. is just a bit more consistent, so maybe there's a risk of if you have a bad effort against one of even Edmonton or Vegas doesn't play their best, which they can occasionally do, they might be in trouble. The other part about it is that I wonder L.A. with Deneau and Kopitar as checkers, does that bother McDavid and Draisaitl? Like, Phil Deneau is a uniquely talented player in the NHL where he, like, has no problem going old school checker. I don't want the puck. I don't want to score a goal. I don't want to do anything. If I can somehow just stop their guy from scoring, I'm so happy and feel fulfilled in what I'm doing. The same way he did it for Montreal when they made the final run, shutting down every team's best player. If they get home ice and they're playing against LA or against Edmonton, you know, I don't think you're stopping Connor McDavid, but if anyone has the personnel up front to try to match up with the forward depth of Edmonton, it is LA.
We saw that with Jonathan Toews a few years ago. Now he's evolved, but yeah, it can happen depending on the matchup. If you're winning one of the divisions, MJ, are you preferring to play Seattle over Winnipeg, or is Winnipeg just playing that poorly now? Because at least on paper, that Winnipeg club's a pretty good hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would be scared of the team with a better goalie, and that's Winnipeg. I think if I play well enough against Seattle, yes, they can score, but so can we. You know, Martin Jones or Grubauer or whatever, like, we'll score goals against them. So I think, you know, pick your poison. But if I had to choose, I think I would choose to play against a team with the worst goaltending, and that's Seattle. So I don't think either one of those teams should win their first. I don't think any of the wild card teams should win their first round playoff matchup. I think they should be pretty heavily favored in the teams that win the division.
All right, that's far too much Western Conference talk for our Eastern snobs. We're supposed to ignore the Western
East
Conference.
East Coast bias.
Exactly. So let's turn our attention to the team that the game you're going to be going tonight, and Tampa's in down tonight, and I think I went back 20 games, MJ, and Tampa's 8-12, I believe, or 7-12 in their last, whatever it's been. It hasn't been great overall, and this is an extended period of time of not great results, so what do you read, if anything, into the play right now of the Lightning?
I think there is a little bit of malaise, sort of fatigue, mental fatigue for the Tampa Bay Lightning on a lot of different levels, given what they've accomplished the last 3 years, but also knowing that they are essentially locked into their playoff matchup. And I don't know of course they want home ice. Their record's much better in home ice than on the road. They probably believe, as they did last year, they can go and win a game 7 on the road in the first round against Toronto. They just did it. Why wouldn't they think they can do it again? So I think there's some of that. But I also think that part of it is that, you know, they're probably not quite as dominant as they have been in the past. Still very good, still can win a Stanley Cup, but, you know, their role, their depth players have been eroded again. Their top players are getting a hair older. You know, Vasilevskiy's not having as dominant a season. You know, they're all very good, but maybe just not quite as. You put all that together, and you know, they go through a quarter of the season where they're scuffling by their standards, which is unusual, but maybe not shocking.
It is a problem, though, MJ, when you get to the playoffs and you're playing Toronto, everybody's so juiced up and so excited that, hey, say Tampa rolled in and was playing the Islanders, it'd be like, whatever. But in the case of Toronto, it all of a sudden, hey, we saw it with Kucherov a couple of years ago. They could turn it on. Is that the part you're nervous about if you're a Leafs fan?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you're terrified of. Like, this team that has been through it, and they know how to do it in tight moments because they've done it. Doesn't matter what they've done before, and for all their struggles, you know, they're like 3 points behind Toronto. It's not like they're doing terribly. That they'll be able to flip the switch and play that bit harder and cause Toronto trouble. And of course, the fact that they have, as the player pool just voted, the goaltender in net that they and that the league would want if you had to win one game. And so, you know, the goaltending matchup looks like it should favor Tampa pretty heavily from an unproven Samsonov or a, you know, sort of up and down Matt Murray. And that's the other part of the equation that, you know, most teams would be in that same position, that their goalie is not as proven as Vasilevsky. And that would not make you as comfortable as you would want to feel going into trying to win your first playoff round in decades.
As you mentioned, you know, the depth with Tampa has eroded a little bit. They seem to lose one of their, not necessarily frontline guys, but one of their key guys every offseason. Is there, if you could handpick one guy that they have lost, that you would say that would be a perfect kind of, I just fit him back in again to give this team like of a Palat and a McDonough or a Gourde. Is there anyone that you can think of off the top of your head that you go, that would be a perfect guy if they still had him?
Yeah, I mean, I think a younger McDonough, yes. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, McDonough's getting a little bit older now, so maybe not quite as good. But, you know, you look at their top six now, and you got Bogosian playing with Hedman. Now, Hedman has, you know, had Luke Shen as a partner and won a cup. He's had Jan Ruta as a partner and run a cup. So he can carry guys along. But Zach Bogosian, a longtime veteran, he's a first-pair guy. Ian Cole is playing on the second pair with Eric Chernak. Like, that's not McDonough Chernak, that's Cole Chernak. It's just a little bit different. Like, when McDonough was there and you could go Hedman, McDonough, Sergachev, you really felt that you had the best defense and you had someone super reliable on the ice every single minute of the game. And they don't have that. You know, they have Sergachev, Radish out there on the third pair. It's just a little bit different on the back end, which was really the strength of their team.
Mm. All right, when we talked to you on Tuesday, that was the morning after the night before of Dylan Ferguson, this incredible story.
Yeah.
He ends up getting sick and isn't even able to dress for the Tuesday night game in Boston. But it looks like, just based on the fact that Mandalese got sent back down yesterday, that he's going to be able to at least suit up tonight. So Simmer and I had a good debate yesterday, and we brought Pooley into it. If you're DJ Smith, you know, you got tonight, you got Tampa in front of you. Do you go with the guy that won you the game on Monday night with the incredible game, or do you go with Sogard had a really good game against Boston but didn't win? Where are you going with the goaltending tonight?
How healthy is Dylan Ferguson? Are we giving him 100%
health? Yeah, let's say he's good to go.
Normal?
Good to go.
I think I'd be inclined to go to Dylan Ferguson.
What?
MJ, neither of them agree with me, and then Pooley shot them down yesterday, and now you're coming back. So,
I mean, I think like Sogard's been fine, and I know he's more the goaltender. He is far more goaltender of the future, or part of the franchise. But you know, he's had trouble getting results, and I think at this point you're rolling the dice 100%. Like, you know, it could go terribly wrong for Dylan Ferguson, and it probably would go. But you know, Sogard hasn't been great as of late. I know last game he was not bad, but you're going to try to capture lightning in the bottle and hopefully rally around Ferguson, because it's not like the guy who is the other option is a slam dunk to play, you know, rock solid as well and get you the win. So it's a tough one. I can understand either way, but sort of playing a hunch or just taking a flyer, going with Ferguson again, and maybe you're trying to get the Hamburglar 2.0 and just see if you can't make some magic happen.
Does the rest of the league know how good Jake Sanderson is?
I'm not sure I do, but I don't know about the rest of the league. Like, you know, you watch him, and boy, it's funny, Simmer, because I don't watch college hockey, right? You know, I can read articles, I can watch clips, but I don't watch college games. I was expecting something more like Cale Makar, You know what I mean? Like a little bit more explosive, kind of more offensive, puck on a stick all the time. And that's not exactly what he is. He is so much more refined and polished and mature in his game than sort of some sort of wild stallion just skating all over the ice because he's the best skater out there. He's very smooth, tight, good stick, good gap, good outlet passer. Yes, he can jump up. Yes, he can run a power play, and that stuff is probably going to continue to get better. But I've just been so impressed by the polish in his game, the maturity.
The ability to defend is the part you never see.
No, and like, why would you think a college player who has the puck all the time would be good at that? Like, you know, that's not something that you would focus on so much. So what a massive luxury that he is be as good as he is. And, you know, Shabbat, Chychrun, Sanderson, like, and I've made the comparison before, it's not Hedman, McDonough, Sergachev. It's not, because Victor Hedman's going to Hall of Fame. But the idea that you could split those three guys, they're all good enough that they could make their pairing work pretty well and then come together if need be and, you know, combine them in the top four somehow. Like, that is something that the Senge could have for the next decade, almost half decade. So, you know, I don't know, because his game is so quietly excellent that he gets enough attention. You know, the rookie of the year conversation, he's not really in it. He probably should be around it. I don't think he's going to be, you know, he's going to win it or anything, but, you know, he probably should be on the all rookie team for the top two defensemen in the league this year. So yeah, there's a lot to like there. And it's funny, I play with his dad in Arizona, and Sandy, his dad, was a crazy good skater and talented player, but, you know, played the game 1,000 miles an hour. And it seems like Jake just is much better at slowing it down and just letting the game come to him, as opposed to his dad, who sort of went out and tried to make it happen all the time by himself.
The so-called counting numbers, I mean, they're nice. They don't jump out, except what do you read into the fact he's played 66 games? He's a defenseman. He's a rookie. He's had 4 penalties this year, 8 minutes in penalties for a guy. You know, like, defensemen just naturally are going to take penalties is based on the talent of the players they're going up against, especially when you're playing, as he is now, top pair, but even second pair for most of the year. The fact he's only taken 4 penalties all year, what does that say to you?
Tells you, like, who's considered the best defensive defenseman in the league? Is it Jacob Slavin?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
How many penalties did he take? Zero, right? He had the 1 year he took 2 for shooting the puck over the glass. He never takes penalties. How? Because he's always in the right spot. He's got an incredible stick and understands how to read the play. Same things would be said about Jake Sanderson. Like, that's how you don't take penalties. And I know, wow, you got to take penalties to show you're tough. Like, that's not what he does, right? Like, it's just a little bit different. Guys defend differently right now. There are ways to be great defensively and not take penalties, and that's what he's doing.
Incredible. All right, good stuff. I know you're staying downtown, and the president's coming to town.
I know.
Tonight. Are you bunking in with Joe Biden, or what's going on? You heard anything?
Well, Gord Miller knows everything about everything, right? Like, that's what Gord Miller does. So we kind of put, like, I don't think Joe Biden's staying at the hotel we're at, but I think maybe his crew is staying here. So it's going to be a gong show getting in and out of the building. Like, I'm not sure if I can even, like, walk outside right now. I'm just going to stay in my room all day.
Okay, there you go. Well, he's not coming till 6 tonight. So you're good to get to the rink.
Oh, so I'm not going to get home from the building. I'm going to walk home from the rink tonight. Okay.
Exactly. Oh, you're welcome to stay in Kanata. We got lots of good hotels out there, too.
I appreciate that.
All right, good stuff. Enjoy the game tonight. Appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, guys.